Does your gratitude and thankfulness come out in the actions of generosity and giving in your life? Whether it's in God's house, whether it's through people and caring, loving other people, the greatest two things you can ever do with your life is to love God and love others. Can your generous acts of love be seen in your life? Or is it just lip service? Can I just start by saying happy Thanksgiving? Turn to somebody and tell them happy Thanksgiving. Can you believe it's already here? Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. I owe you like 20 bucks after the person who said that. That's like the fourth person. Only the fourth person. If you didn't hear, they said, welcome back. Glad to be back, and I've been thinking about Thanksgiving coming up here in just a few weeks, and what an interesting word Thanksgiving is, isn't it? Because it's really the combination of two words, thanks and giving. Everyone say thanks,
thanks.
And giving.
Amen.
Gratitude and generosity. That's what brings them together, is gratitude and generosity. And both of these words should be extremely important to you, especially if you love Jesus. Gratitude and generosity, give and thanks going together to form thanksgiving. And I want us to think about that this morning because it should be a constant companion to us as believers. It should be a constant companion to us as people who love Jesus Christ, if you love him this morning, this attitude of gratitude and generosity. Many of you know I was gone for a couple of Sundays. My wife and I had the privilege to go to Japan to visit my son, daughter-in-law, and two of our grandchildren. They're there as missionaries, and we got to spend some time with them, and it was great. And Japanese culture is amazing. I mean, they are go-getters, and they're very respectful. And one of the things you notice when you get to Japan is they bow. Typically, it's just a little head nod. It's not anything too extravagant. It's a little head nod, little thank you or hello or just something simple. And I never really paid too much attention to it until one day I was sitting outside of a store, a little department store, and my wife was inside grabbing something for the grandkids or something. I don't remember. And I'm sitting on a bench. They have lots of like waiting areas. And all of the benches in this area were full. And I was sitting on one of the benches and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for my wife. And so as I'm waiting, this elderly Japanese woman comes walking up and there's nowhere for her to sit, so she's just standing there. So I stand up and in my fluent Japanese, I pointed to the seat. And I, you know, was like, would you want to sit there? And she just beamed, and she bowed to me. And she bowed very low, and she held it for a long time. And then she did it again, and she bowed very low, and she held it for a long time. And it just struck me in that moment. I'm like, no one had ever bowed to me like that before. Even though I demanded of our Fusion Leadership Academy students, I'm like, bow. And I was just thinking about that, and I couldn't get out of my head. And so I'm kind of walking through it was like an open-faced department store where the seating was. And I look back, and she's just staring at me, beaming. She's sitting in that seat. And I ended up looking it up about this Japanese bow and how much, it means different things in different situations. But in the context I was in, it was a sign of gratitude. It was this honoring and respect of gratitude, and I thought, wow, how it actually made me feel very special at that moment when I realized how significant what she did, such a simple act of what she did for me meant. And I thought about that in context to the series that we're starting today, and I want to ask you this question this morning, and that's this: what does your bow of gratitude to God look like? Is it just this curt little nod like, okay, thanks, God? Or do you bow low to him? Do you bow deep to him? Does it hold for a long time? Should be a lifetime, this bow of gratitude. I want us to understand this principle of giving and thanks in a deeper way than we ever have before. You know, are you living out your life in thankfulness to God? I want you to meditate on that question and think about it over the next several weeks. What does your gratitude look like? What does your bow to God look like? Is it honoring to Him? Now, the truth is, if I stopped right here and I only talked about gratitude, if I only talked about the thanks, everyone would be, sweet, Pastor, I love talking about gratitude. I'm a very thankful person. Very thankful person. But you can't talk about thanks without talking about giving and talking about generosity, because they go hand in hand. And the problem I have as a pastor is whenever I talk about generosity, about giving, people get uncomfortable. In fact, I had talked to a couple people about this series, and their initial reaction to me regarding this series was like, oh, they actually kind of tensed up a little bit. I could just kind of see it in their tone of their voice and just their physical body, like, oh. And I'm like, I was talking to one of the elders, and I said, I'm going to talk about this. I really feel like it's on my heart. And he's like, oh. I'm like, what do you think? And his reaction, I actually asked him, I said, do you think I shouldn't preach on that? And he said, no, I just know what people think and their reactions whenever you preach about generosity and giving. And he said, but preach it, Pastor. And so here it comes. Here you go. Because you get all kinds of reactions from people, especially in a church setting. Here we go again. Pastor's talking about money. All he cares about is the money. And we get all kinds of reactions. And then we all tense up, like, oh, I wish he would talk about something else, but just not that subject. And we get all kinds of reactions. And I get it. Talking about generosity and giving is uncomfortable. Do you know why? Because it touches the deepest part of our lives, our heart. Your generosity is inseparably tied to your heart, and it makes us uncomfortable. And so we're going to talk about it, because I love to make you uncomfortable. It's going to be a great series, and it'll be very telling. Which of you return next week? We're keeping account of your names in the back. We know. We know. But let me ask you this question. I asked you, what does your gratitude and your thanks look like? What does your generosity look like? What does your giving look like? And if you think giving and generosity just has to do with your money, you're wrong. It's not just about your money. Does it partake into that? Yes, of course. But is that where it stops? Not even close. What does your generosity look like? We often have this mentality, as especially as Americans, first world country living people, the more that I have, the more blessed I am. When we see someone who is successful and they have a lot of things and they have a big house or whatever, and we think, man, they are so blessed. You know, have you ever said that? You ever heard that? They're so blessed. And we kind of equate blessing with this monetary value. What if I told you that's not what Jesus said at all? That blessing didn't come by the way or the things that you have. In fact, we're told to remember what Jesus said about it. Here's what he said in Acts chapter 20. He said, you should remember, don't forget it, the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to what?
Give.
To what?
Give.
Come on, like you love the word. It's blessed to what?
Give.
Give than to receive. It is more blessed. Thanks and giving. Gratitude and generosity. We're going to learn what it is to be blessed in those areas over the next couple weeks. And oftentimes we feel like we're thankful. We feel like we're you know, generous people. But we have to understand that a heart of gratitude leads to a life of generosity. You cannot be thankful without it moving you to generosity. And the scriptures teach that over and over and over again. So as we go through this new series, Thanks and Giving, I want you to pay attention, because thanks and giving are more than a feeling, they're a lifestyle. especially for the Christian, if you love Jesus today, if you are a Bible-thumping person, if you go to church, if you love Jesus at all, your gratitude and your giving should be a lifestyle for the believer. So I want to answer a couple questions today. First, we're going to answer this question: why should my thanks lead me to generosity? Let's start right here. Why should that move me? Why should my gratitude, after all the things that God has done for me, after everything he's done for me in my life, why should that gratitude and thankfulness lead me to a life of giving and generosity? Why should it do that? It's an important question for us, isn't it? Because if your gratitude, if your thanks is not leading you to generosity, then there's a heart issue. There's a heart issue. And we've got to discover what that is, because thankfulness is the key to a generous life. So I want you to write this down this morning. Thanks leads us to generosity because everything we have comes from God. Say the word everything.
Everything.
Do you know what that means in Japanese?
Everything.
It means everything. Everything comes from God. My wife and I got off the plane. We returned from Japan, and we went into the belly of the beast, which is the baggage claim area. And because I love my wife, I protect her, and I say, "You stand afar off. I'll go in towards the carousel." Old ladies are throwing elbows. Guys are at their walkers and smacking people. It's chaos. I see a luggage, a bag that looks like mine, and so I grab it. And I take it over, and my wife is waiting in the safe zone, and I put it over by her, and I'm like, okay. And she's just standing there looking beautiful and cute after, you know, a long flight. And so we're standing there, and I see another bag come, and I'm like, that one looks like mine too. And so I grab it, and I look back, and I realize that one's not mine. And my wife is dying laughing at me because she has realized it already. But I'm at war, and I can't pay attention to her giggles at the moment. I'm fighting for my life. So I go back, and I grab the bag that wasn't mine. I thought it was mine. I pretended it was mine. I took it like it was mine. I went, and I was going to take it home like it was mine. But it wasn't mine. And I put it back on the carousel, and I see over in the corner of my eye this guy standing there staring at me, looking at me, because he knew it was his. But I took it. We all got the right luggage at the end. You know, we often act like in life everything is ours. Our success is ours. Our things are ours. Our future is ours. Our stuff is ours. And we have this very mindset mentality. But here's what the Bible says in Psalms 24. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Everything is the Lord. So I want you to think about this today. In our mind mentality, I want you to understand that the luggage belongs to God. You're just carrying luggage during this lifetime. None of it is permanent. None of it is going to last forever. It all belongs to him who created it. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, "Behold, to the Lord our God belong the heaven and the heaven's heavens, the earth with all that is in it." How much of your life and your stuff and your things belong to God? All of it. Because it all comes from him. In fact, the reason you exist, and the only reason you exist, is because God allowed it, because God created you. You belong to him. Everything in your life is completely and totally dependent on him, who is the giver of all things. He's the giver of all things. And we know how quickly greed and selfishness can come into it, because we just have to be around a toddler for like 2 minutes to realize how fast they take things. Mine. We do the same thing. We're just in adult bodies. And we take what luggage we think is ours, but it really belongs to God. See, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, it says, "For by him all things were created." Notice how completeness it is in these verses. in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, all things. Nothing that you have actually belongs to you. It belongs to the Lord. And my thanks leads me to generosity because it all comes from him. It's not mine. It's his. He's the owner of it all. He's the creator of it all. It's not mine. And that leads us to this. Thanks leads to generosity because Jesus gave up everything so we could gain everything. So we could gain everything. Even though all four of my children are grown adults, I still, as a father, fervently desire to provide for them. I want to take care of them. I want to make sure they're successful. I want to make sure they have what they need. I want to make sure they're heading in the right direction. I fervently desire that as a father, even if it costs me everything. I want that. And that's exactly what God wants for you. God wants that for you. How much would you actually sacrifice so that someone else could be rich? Someone else could be successful. How much would you sacrifice? Would you sacrifice your favorite coffee every morning? Would you sacrifice your gym membership or your streaming service? Would you sacrifice your job or your retirement? Would you sacrifice your future? Would you sacrifice your life so that someone else could gain everything? You would lose everything so that someone else could gain everything? Yet that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Watch what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you," everyone say me, "so that you through his poverty might become rich." How amazing is that verse? Even though he was rich, sacrificed everything and became poor, so that through his poverty you might gain everything. Jesus, being God in the flesh, who was God in eternity past, had everything. He was rich in eternal life. He was rich in authority. He was rich in power. He was rich, if you will, in possession, even though he needed nothing. He had all things, and yet he gave up all of those things, gave up everything, the Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on the form of a servant, the Bible says. And the Bible says when he walked this earth, he didn't even have a place to lay his head. And if that wasn't far enough, he who knew no sin became sin for us on the cross. And he died a righteous man, but a sinner's death. He was rich, but yet became poor, so that through his poverty, even death on the cross, we might gain everything. Think on that. And that thanksgiving of what Jesus did for us, that thankfulness, that gratitude, that generosity of Christ should lead us to a generous life. You see, we weren't just poor before knowing Jesus, we were totally bankrupt, unable to pay the debt. Unable to pay the interest fees, unable to make it up. But yet Jesus came and paid it all. How much thanks should we be giving him, church? How much gratitude should we be walking in it every day? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, it says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. He demonstrated his love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were totally and utterly bankrupt, Christ died for you. I'm gonna pay the debt." And that's why our gratitude, our thanks should lead us to giving. I give thanks because he became poor so that I might become rich in him, so that I might gain everything in him. I become rich not according to the world standards, but I become rich in grace, rich in mercy, rich in eternal life, rich in eternal blessings, rich in eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. I become rich not in the things of the world where moth and rust destroy, but my treasure is in heaven for him who became poor so that I might gain it all through him. And this is why we should, as Christians, overflow with thanksgiving. Overflow with thanksgiving, which leads us to this. My thanks leads us to generosity because love always gives. Say always.
Always.
Love always gives. You see, true love doesn't just fill our heart, it actually moves our hands. It moves our hands. It's not just words we say. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling in here. It actually moves me to action. God's love for us moved him to action. And we know this because of the most famous verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. Watch this. For God so loved the world that he what, church?
Gave.
Come on, one more time, what?
Gave.
He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Life. Love always gives. It's not just a feeling for us, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a feeling for God, it's a lifestyle for him. His love always gives. Man, we have such a generous God. Man, we have such a generous Savior. And we should give thanks to him because it leads us to generosity, because that's what love does. Love moves us to generosity. Why? Because love always gives. Just think about the relationships that you have. The people that you know in your life, your spouse, your kids, family members, a close friend, and you think, hey, I love them, and what do? You usually give them something. You usually care for them. There's some way, some act, some performance of generosity that comes out of that. Why? Because I want you to see that I love you. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to see it in the actions of my life. It moves my hands to generosity. The Bible says in John chapter 4, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. Remember, he showed it. He's showing it in action. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. God just didn't give us lip service. It actually came throughout his action. I love you so much, I'm not just going to tell you, I'm going to show you. And here's how I'm going to show you. I'm sending my son Jesus Christ to pay for your bankruptcy, your spiritual bankruptcy, so that you might become eternally rich in him, the rich relationship with God that you couldn't have before. That's love. It goes on and says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's love. You see God's love in action? Is your love, can your love for God be seen in the actions of your life? Does your gratitude and thankfulness come out in the actions of generosity and giving in your life? Whether it's in God's house, whether it's through people and caring, loving other people, the greatest two things you can ever do with your life is to love God and love others. Can your generous acts of love be seen in your life? Or is it just lip service? You cannot love without giving. It's impossible. And when our thankfulness overflows, means our love is overflowing, and my thankfulness leads me to rich generosity, why? Because love always gives. It always gives. And think of this. Why should my thankfulness lead me to generosity? Because thanks leads to generosity because it's not an option, it's obedience. Say obedience.
Obedience.
It's obedience to the things of God. If you love Jesus, you can't explain away, excuse, or ignore generosity. And here's the things I hear about all the time. I've been doing this a couple days. I go to church, so I don't need to give. I serve, so I don't need to give. I give, so I don't need to serve. I go to church, I attend, so I don't need to serve. We've got a Project Touch thing coming up, a Circle of Care coming up. We've got stuffing stockings for the soldiers. We've got Thanksgiving boxes for safe families. We've got all these, I attend, and that's a blessing to everyone. I am a blessing to all of us. I don't need to give. I don't need to be generous. I don't need to serve. And we excuse away the giving that comes after the thanks, the generosity that comes after the gratefulness. And we reason in our head and our mind all of these equations that we justify our lack of generosity in giving. We say, I don't need to do that. And yet the Bible is so clear that when we actually live out a life of thankfulness that should lead us to generosity, we're actually walking in obedience to the things of God. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, now buckle your seatbelts. Safety harness. Some of you, if the plane gets a little rocky, an oxygen mask will actually drop from the ceiling. Please place it on yourself first. If you start to hyperventilate while I'm reading this verse, just breathe in and out. If the bag doesn't inflate, don't worry, oxygen is still flowing. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love that we kindle in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Of giving. Christians in 100 million years should never, ever have a problem with giving, because it all comes from him. It all comes from him. It all belonged to him in the first place. My very life belonged to him in the first place. Excel in the gracious act of giving. Thanks and giving are the lifestyle of the believer. And I want it to be our lifestyle. I want it to be your lifestyle. As awkward and as uncomfortable as you might get when it comes to talking about generosity, talking about giving thanks, that's easy. But where thanks leads us, that's a whole other mountain. You see, God gave everything for you. He became poor so that you might become rich in him. Not rich with stuff. Not rich with a big fat bank account, although God might bless you with that. But rich in him. Rich in generosity. Rich in purpose. I just, it's so heavy on my heart. We need to explode in generosity. And you say, God, where would you have me? Where would you have me give? Where would you have me serve? What poor and needy can I take care of? How can I meet a need, God? How can I give more? All belongs to you. You know, the book of James, it says, I'm going to paraphrase, it says, woe to you who hoarded things for yourself at the end times. Oh, God, I don't want to hoard for me. I want to give it all for you. I want to surrender every area of my life to you because I'm so thankful for what you've done.